Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Night of the Living Dummy 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This was suggested by Mario B on the old Facebook.com/Dune Reads Goosebumps. The first book of Night of the Living Dummy was read by my buddy Nick, and it was very well done, and you can still find it at the archive.org Dune Reads Goosebumps page, where you can download and stream everything and download directly or torrent, and then every single file's there, and it's well kept, unlike DuneReadsGoosebumps.com, which I should probably route to that site anyway. I tried recording this before, and there's a fuck up on the audio, and now I'm like scared I'm gonna have to redo things. Anyway, I'm drinking a Hurricane High Gravity, which is the Anheuser-Busch answer to Steel Reserve. I tried to buy Steel Reserve yesterday because I was getting a tattoo with another can of Steel Reserve featured in it, because I now have two Steel Reserve cans tattooed on my body forever for some reason. You can see the tattoo at Instagram.com/Dune_M. Or I guess just my Instagram name is Dune_M or underline, whatever. And it's of an otter chilling in the water looking all cute, drinking a big tall can of Steel Reserve, and it says, "I'll do it tomorrow." It was done by my girlfriend, and my buddy got a matching little friendship tattoo with me, and it was his first tattoo, so that was good times with Fred. Anyway, I went to the liquor store to try to get a can of Steel Reserve to drink prior to, and they only had Hurricane High Gravity, Old English, which is just Steel Reserve Light. It's the same wort, just like Budweiser and Bud Light. So, fuck that, you know. Anyway, so I ended up buying it because I had to. And then I also bought Steel Reserve Margarita, which was new, but it was like Four Loko or juice, but surprisingly not as bad, but not as good as normal Steel Reserve. It was pretty, whatever. It was margarita-flavored malt liquor. What the fuck? Anyway, the cover of this book is all girly and pink, and I kind of like it. And it has Slappy sitting on the edge of a bed with pink sheets and some hearts. And he's looking all evil. Actually, he does kind of look evil, but he also kind of looks like a Stephen Hawking. So, you know, Slappy's there riddled with ALS. And apparently if you dump ice on your head, you can save his life. He's looking all evil. Behind him, there's a bear wearing a shirt dress kind of deal with no bottom, just kind of like Winnie the Pooh, and a rabbit. They're like stuffed animals, and they're looking all freaked out and scared of Slappy. And it says, "He's still walking. He's still stalking." You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Night of the Living Dummy 2 by R.L. Stine. I'm going to stop and save this file. Hold up. Chapter number one. My name is Amy Kramer, and I sound exactly like Dune. And every Thursday night, I feel a little dumb because I watch must-see TV. That's because Thursday is family sharing night at my house. You know, it's getting incesty quick. Sarah and Jed think it's dumb too, but Mom and Dad won't listen to our complaints. "It's the most important night of the week," Dad says. I'm sorry, but Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the most important night of the week, am I right? Up top for Jesus. "It's a family tradition," Mom adds. "It's something you kids will always remember." "Right, Mom. It's something I'll always remember as really painful and embarrassing." You've probably guessed that on family sharing night, every member of the Kramer family, except George, our cat, has to share something with the rest of the family. That's fun and wholesome. "It isn't so bad for my sister, Sarah. Sarah is 14, 2 years older than me, and she's a genius painter." For any listener out there who's shitty at math, that means that our protagonist, Amy, is 12. "Really? One of her paintings was chosen for a show at the art museum downtown. Sarah may go to a special arts high school next year." I went to an art show on Friday that my girlfriend had a painting in. It was for, like, autism or some gay shit. Am I right? "So Sarah always shares some sketches she's working on, or a new painting. A family sharing night, and family sharing night isn't so bad for Jed either. My 10-year-old brother is such a total goof. He doesn't care what he shares. One Thursday night, he burped really loud and explained that that's what he was sharing." Oh, that he was sharing his dinner, because he burped, whatever. "Jed laughed like a lunatic, but Mom and Dad didn't think it was funny. They gave Jed a stern lecture about taking family sharing night more seriously. The next Thursday night, my obnoxious brother shared a note that David Miller, a kid at my school, had written to me, a very personal note. Jed found the note in my room and decided to share it with everybody. Nice. I wanted to die. I really did. I can relate to that. Jed just thinks he's so cute and adorable. He can get away with anything. He thinks he's really special. I think it's because he's the only redhead in the family. Sarah and I both have straight black hair, dark green eyes, and very tan skin. With his pale skin, freckled face, and curly red hair, Jed looks like he comes from another family. Or the testicles of a man that clearly is not their father. Oh god, they'll put that together in a year or two. Maybe the older sister Sarah already did. And sometimes Sarah and I both wish he did. Anyway, I'm the one with the most problems on family sharing night because I'm not really talented the way Sarah is, and I'm not a total goof like Jed. So, I never really know what to share. I mean, I have a seashell collection, which I keep in a jar on my dresser, but it's really kind of boring to hold up shells and talk about them. And we haven't been to the ocean for nearly 2 years, so my shells are kind of old, and everyone's already seen them. I also have a really good music collection, on CDs. Why did I just phrase it like that? I also have a really good collection of CDs. CDs are what people had to listen to that were the worst technology, and they skipped and stuff, and people had to use them all the time before they could easily listen to Dune Rates Goosebumps. But no one else in my family is into Bob Marley and reggae music. Yeah, because they fucking have 4 brain cells at least. Chip, chip, chip. Chip, chip, chip. All right, man, now here's the next song. Chip, 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 chip. Irie, man, and here's another chip, chip, chip forever. If I start to share some music with them, they all hold their ears and complain until I shut it off. That's fucking rude. So, I usually make up some kind of a story, an adventure story about a girl who survives danger after danger, or a wild fairy tale about princesses who turn into tigers. After my last story, Dad had a big smile on his face. Amy's going to be a famous writer, he announced. She's so good at making up stories, Dad gazed around the room, wishing I could make up friends, still smiling. We have such a talented family, except for the redhead, but he didn't come for me, he exclaimed. I knew he was just saying that to be a good parent, to encourage me. Sarah is the real talent in our family. Everyone knows that. Tonight, Jed was the first to share. Mom and Dad sat in the living room couch. Who the fuck's Jed? I guess that's the kid's name, obviously the redhead. Dad had taken out a tissue and was squinting as he cleared his glasses. Dad can't stand to have the tiniest speck of dust on his glasses. He cleans them about 20 times a day. I settled in the big brown armchair against the wall. Sarah sat cross-legged on the carpet beside me so I couldn't see her carpet. What are you going to share tonight? Mom asked Jed. And I hope it isn't another horrible burp.
That was so gross, Sarah moaned.
Your face is gross, bitch! Burn! Jed shot back. He stuck out his tongue at Sarah.
Jed, please, give us a fucking break tonight, Dad muttered, slipping his glasses back on, adjusting them on his nose.
Don't cause trouble. She started it, Jed insisted, pointing at Sarah.
Just share something, I told Jed, sighing. I'm gonna share your freckles, Sarah told him. I'm gonna pull them off one by one and feed them to George.
Sarah and I laughed. George didn't glance up. He was curled up, napping on the carpet beside the couch.
That's not funny, girls, Mom snapped, assuming that girls aren't funny, which is incorrect. There's like 2 or 3 that are. Stop being mean to your brother. This is supposed to be a family night.
Dad wailed, like Bob Marley and the Wailers, am I right?
Reference! Why can't we be a family?
We are, Jed insisted. Dad frowned and shook his stupid dad head.
He looks like an owl when he does that. Jed, are you going to share something?
He demanded weakly. Jed nodded.
Yeah. He stood in the center of the room and shoved his hands into his jeans pockets. He wears loose, baggy jeans, about 10 sizes too big, because this was in the 90s and that was cool. They always look as if they're about to fall down. Jed thinks it's really cool.
I learned to whistle through my fingers, he announced.
Wow, Sarah muttered sarcastically. Jed ignored that bitch. He pulled his hands from his pockets, then stuck his 2 little fingers in the side of his mouth and let out a long, shrill whistle. Here I go.
That's the sound he didn't make at all. That couldn't have gone better. Apparently that's what happens when I put the two small fingers in my mouth and blow like I'm trying to whistle.
He whistled through his fingers two more times. Then he took a deep bow. The whole family burst into loud applause. Jed, grinning, took another low bow. Such a talented family, Dad declared. This time, he meant it as a joke. Jed dropped down on the floor beside George and started startling the poor cat awake. Your turn next, Amy, Mom said, turning to me. Are you going to tell us another story?
Her stories are too long, Jed complained.
Fucking RL stories are too long, am I right? I still think I'd only need to read the second half of the book. I should just read, like, the Wikipedia synopsis and then part two.
Anyway, George climbed unsteadily to his feet and moved a few feet away from Jed. Yawning, the cat dropped on his stomach beside Mom's feet.
I'm not going to tell a story tonight, I announced.
I picked up Dennis from behind my armchair. Sarah and Jed both groaned.
Hey, give me a break, I shouted.
I settled back on the edge of the chair, fixing my dummy on my lap.
I thought I'd talk to Dennis tonight, I told Mom and Dad.
They had half smiles on their faces. I didn't give a shit. I'd been practicing with Dennis all week, and I wanted to try out my new comedy routine with him.
Amy's a lousy ventriloquist,
Jed chimed in, as if there's something besides lousy ventriloquist.
It's not like, man, she's a really entertaining ventriloquist.
You can see her lips move.
Be quiet, Jed. I think Dennis is funny, Sarah said.
She scooted toward the couch so she could see better. I balanced Dennis on my left knee and wrapped my fingers around the string in his back that worked his mouth. Dennis is a very old ventriloquist dummy. The paint on his face is faded. One eye is almost completely white. His turtleneck sweater is torn and tattered.
But I have a lot of fun with him. I have a lot of fun drinking. I'm about to do it right now.
When my 5-year-old cousins come to visit, I like to entertain them with Dennis. They squeal and laugh. They think I'm a riot. I think I'm getting much better with Dennis, despite Jed's complaints. I took a deep breath, glanced at Mom and Dad, and began my act.
How are you tonight, Dennis? I asked.
Not too well,
I made the dummy reply in a shrill, high voice. Dennis's voice.
Really, Dennis? What's wrong?
I think I caught a bug. I hope it isn't HIV, and I didn't get hived up, and I have to take the triple cocktail of my life, and they say it isn't, but I still know it's a death sentence, oh God.
You mean you have the flu? I asked him.
No. Termites!
Mom and Dad laughed, because they had never heard a joke before. Sarah smiled. Jed groaned loudly. I turned back to Dennis.
Well, have you been to a doctor? I asked him.
No. A carpenter. I went to the Lord Jesus Christ and he cured me.
No, that's not what it says.
Mom and Dad smiled at that one, but didn't laugh. Jed groaned again. Sarah stuck her finger down her throat, pretending to puke. God, she was so skinny and beautiful.
No one liked that joke, Dennis, I told him.
Who's joking?
I made Dennis reply.
This is lame, I heard Jed mutter to Sarah. She nodded her head in agreement.
Let's change the subject, Dennis, I said,
shifting the dummy to my other knee.
Hey, you got a bae?
It says, do you have a girlfriend? I leaned Dennis forward, trying to make him nod his head yes, but his head rolled right off his fucking shoulders. Oh my goodness. The wood head hit the floor with a thud and bounced over to George. The cat leaped up and scampered the fuck away. Sarah and Jed collapsed in laughter, slapping each other high fives. I jumped angrily to my feet. Dad, I screamed, you promised you'd buy me a new dummy.
I bet the dummy that she's gonna get is the dummy Slappy from the Goosebumps series, and it's gonna be evil.
Jed scurried over to the rug and picked up Dennis's head. He pulled the string, making the dummy's mouth move.
Amy reeks! Amy reeks!
Jed made the dummy repeat over and over. Give me that! I grabbed the head and angrily from Jed's hand.
Amy reeks! Amy reeks!
Jed continued chanting. That's enough, Mom shouted, jumping off the couch. Jed retreated back to the wall. I've been checking the stores for a new dummy, Dad told me, pulling off his glasses again, examining them closely. But they're all so expensive and you're just not worth it.
Well, how am I ever going to get better at this? I demanded. Dennis's head falls off every time I use him.
Do your best, Mom said.
What did that mean? I always hated it when she said that shit.
Instead of family sharing night, we should call this Thursday Night Frights, Sarah declared.
Sarah DeClara, am I right?
Jed raised his fists.
Wanna fight?
He asked Sarah. It's your turn, Sarah, Mom replied, narrowing her eyes at Jed. What are you sharing tonight?
I have a new painting. I did an MS paint. It's tight as hell. It's a tree, Sarah announced. It's a watercolor.
Of what? Dad asked, settling his glasses back on his stupid dad face.
Remember that cabin we had in Maine a few summers ago?
Sarah replied, tossing back her straight black hair.
The one overlooking the dark rock cliff?
I found a snapshot of it and I tried to paint it. I suddenly felt really angry and upset. I admit it. I was jealous of Sarah. Not only could she paint, but she was also starting to get boobs. God, I want boobs! Here she was, about to share another beautiful watercolor, and here I was, rolling a stupid wooden dummy head in my lap. It just wasn't fair. I'm such a goofus.
You'll have to come to my room to see it, Sarah was saying. It's still wet.
We all stood up and trooped to Sarah's room. My family lives in a long, one-story ranch-style house. My room and Jed's room are at the end of one hallway. The living room, dining room, meth lab, S&M torture room, and kitchen are in the middle. Sarah's room and my parents' room are down the other hall, way at the other end of the house. I led the way down the hall. Behind me, Sarah was going on and on about the trouble she'd had with the painting and how she'd solved all the problems, like some sort of female Bob Ross.
I remember that cabin so well, Mom said.
I can't wait to see the painting, Mom added.
I stepped into Sarah's room and clicked on the light. Then I turned to the easel by the window that held the painting and let out a scream of horror.
Fuck, that was the longest first chapter in Goosebumps history. God damn!
Chapter
number 2.
My mouth dropped open in shock. I stared at the painting, unable to speak. When Sarah saw it, she let out a shriek.
I don't believe it, she screamed. Who did that?
Someone had painted a yellow and black smiley face in the corner of her painting, right in the middle of the black rock cliff. Mom and Dad stepped up to the easel, fretful expressions on their faces. They studied the smiley face, then turned to Jed.
Oh, it's a smile face. Is smiley face copyrighted? Can you not say smile? Because assuming it's a smiley face. I think it is. Whatever.
Jed burst out laughing.
Do you like it?
He asked innocently.
Jed, how could you?
Sarah exploded. I'll kill you. I really will. I'll fucking end your life.
The painting was too dark, Jeff explained with a shrug. I wanted to brighten it up.
But, my sister spluttered. She balled her hands into fists, shook them at Jed, and uttered a low cry of rage.
When I was a little hungover this morning, and I slept late, and it's Monday, and I didn't have to work because of weird circumstances. It's not because of the holiday, but because I had to work super late one night last week. Anyway, when I was tired and hungover, and I, without trying to, when I went to walk Franklin, walked out into the sunlight and made a sound that I had never made before, and I can't, like, recreate it. It was just like a guttural old man moan at the sight and feeling of the sun, and I felt like such a fucking idiot. It's like, Jesus Christ, really, the sun bothers me that much? I need to get my shit together.
Jed, what are you doing in Sarah's room? Mom demanded. Sarah doesn't like for anyone to go into her precious room without a written invitation. Young man, you know you're never allowed to touch your sister's paintings, Dad scolded. I can paint too, Jed replied. I'm a good painter. Then do your own paintings, Sarah snapped. Don't sneak in here and mess up my work. And that kid grew up to be Banksy, and he just painted on other people's shit and then claimed he was an artist. I didn't sneak, Jed insisted. He sneered at Sarah. I was just trying to help. You were not, Sarah screamed, angrily tossing her black hair over her shoulder. You ruined my painting. Your painting reeks, Jed shot back. Enough, Mom shouted. She grabbed Jed by both shoulders. Jed, look at me. You don't seem to know how fucking serious this is. This is the worst thing you've ever done. Jed's smile finally faded. I took another glance at the ugly smile face he had slopped on to Sarah's watercolor. All right, from now on, I'm just saying smiley face, because that's what we all know it as, and it's fucking weird that it just says smile face. I think that was the name of the killer in the second season of American Horror Story. Whatever. I took another glance at the ugly, smiley face he had slapped onto Sarah's watercolor. Since he's the baby in the family, Jed thinks he can get away with anything, but I knew that this time he'd gone too fucking far. After all, Sarah is the star of the family. She's the talented one, the one with the painting that hung in a goddamn museum. Messing with Sarah's precious painting was bound to get Jed in major fucking trouble. Sarah is so stuck up about her paintings. A few times, I even thought about painting something funny on one of them, but of course I only thought it. I would never do anything that horrible because I have no follow-through whatsoever. You don't have to be jealous of your sister's work, Dad was telling Jed. We're all talented in this family. Oh, sure, Jed muttered. He has this weird habit. Whenever he's in trouble, he doesn't say he's sorry. Instead, he gets really angry. What's your talent, Dad? Not fucking coming in, Mom, and making me this fucking abomination ginger child when everyone has black hair? You think I don't notice that shit? Jed demanded, sneering. Dad's jaw tightened. He narrowed his eyes at Jed. We're not discussing me. I read bootleg audiobooks. I am a real man, he said in a low voice. But I'll tell you, my talent is my Chinese cooking. Oh, this guy's so sad. You see, there are all kinds of talents, Jed. Dad considers himself a master of the wok. Once or twice a week, he chops up a ton of vegetables into little pieces and fries them up in the electric wok Mom got him for Christmas, and sings, Walk this way! Just kidding. We pretend it tastes great. No point in hurting Dad's feelings. Is Jed gonna be punished or not? Sarah demanded in a shrill voice. She had opened her box of watercolor paints and was rolling a brush in the black when she began painting over the smiley face with a quick, furious brush stroke after quick, furious brush stroke. I sure saved how I screwed up that sentence. Oh, yes, Jed is going to be punished, Mom replied, glaring at him. Jed lowered his eyes to the floor. First, he's going to apologize to Sarah. We all waited. It took Jed a while, but he finally managed to mutter, Sorry, Sarah. He started to leave the room, but Mom grabbed his shoulders again and pulled him back. Not so fast, Jed, she told him. Your punishment is you can't go to the movies with Josh and Matt on Saturday. And no video games for a week. Mom, give me a break, bitch, Jed whined. What you did was really bad, Mom said sturdily. Maybe this punishment will make you realize how terrible it was. But I have to go to the movies with my bros, Jed protested. You can't, Mom replied softly, and no arguing, or I'll add on to your punishment. Now go to your fucking room. I don't think it's enough punishment, Sarah said like a fucking snitch, dabbing away at her painting. Keep out of it, bitch. Mom snapped. Yeah, keep out of it, Jed muttered. He stomped out of the room and down the long hall to his room. Dad sighed. He swept a hand over his bald head. Family sharing night is over, he said sadly. Ooh, there's a drinking break in this one. I stayed in Sarah's room and watched her repair the painting for a while. She kept tisk-tisking and shaking her head. I have to make the rocks much darker, or the painting won't cover up the stupid smiley face, she explained unhappily. But if I make the rocks darker, I have to change the sky. The whole fucking balance is ruined. God damn it! We later found out that Sarah had obsessive compulsive disorder and eventually took her life. It was very tragic. I think it looks pretty good, I told her, trying to cheer her up. How could Jed do that? Sarah demanded, dipping her brush in the water jar. How could he sneak in here and totally destroy a work of art? Oh, now she's just full of herself. I feel sorry for Sarah, but that remark made me lose all sympathy. I mean, why couldn't she just call it a watercolor painting? Why'd she have to call it a work of art? I agree with you, Amy. We're two peas in a pod. Sometimes she is so stuck up and so in love with herself, it makes me sick. I turned and left the room. She didn't even notice. I went down the hall to my room and called my friend Margot. We talked for a while about stuff, and we made plans to get together the next day. As I talked on the phone, I could hear Jed in his room next door. He was pacing back and forth, tossing things around, making a lot of noise. Sometimes I spell the word Jed, B-R-A-T. That's not how you spell Jed at all. That was a really stupid line, Arl Stein. And that just spelled brat. I can read, or I read Goosebumps. Okay? Margot's dad made her get off the phone. He's real strict. He never lets her talk for more than 10 or 15 minutes. Prison? I wandered into the kitchen, made myself a bowl of Frosted Flakes, my favorite late-night snack. When I was a little kid, I used to have a bowl of cereal every night before bed, and I just never got out of the habit. That was like two Mitch Hedberg jokes. It was the Frosted Flakes, they're fucking expensive, and then the... I used to eat cereal before bed. I still do, but I used to too. I rinsed out the bowl. Then I said goodnight to Mom and Dad and went to bed. It was a warm spring night. A soft breeze flooded the curtains over the window. Pale light from a big half moon filled said window and spilled on the floor. Look at that. The fucking light spilled. You know, that is a fucking artist right there, R.L. Stein. The light spilled onto the floor. Oh my god, he paints a picture with words! I fell into a deep sleep as soon as my head hit the pillow. A short while later, something woke me up. I'm not sure what. Still half asleep, I blinked my eyes open and raised myself on my pillow. I struggled to see clearly. The curtains flapped over the window. I felt as if I were still asleep, dreaming. But what I saw in the window snapped me awake. The curtains billowed, then lifted away, and in the silvery light I saw a face, an ugly, grinning face in my bedroom window, staring through the darkness at me. Maybe the face is like Slappy, the puppet, or maybe it's like, maybe she just was dreaming and didn't really know what she saw, or maybe it's a creepy pedophile. We'll find out, won't we, on Chapter 3. Chapter, number 3-3-3-3. The curtains flapped again. The face didn't move. Didn't. The face didn't move. Is it still okay to make fun of retarded people in 2015? I don't think so. The face didn't move. Who? I choked out, squeezing the sheet up to my chin. The eyes stared in at me, cold, unblinking eyes, dummy eyes. Dennis. Dennis stared blankly at me, his white eye catching the glow of the moonlight. I let out an angry roar, tossed off the sheet, and bolted out of bed to the window. That was weird. There was a period before that. I read it properly. It was just weird. I pushed away the billowing curtains and grabbed Dennis's head off the window ledge. Who put you there? I demanded, holding the head between my hands. Who did it, Dennis? I heard soft laughter behind me, from the hallway. Wait, did Jed just put a doll's head on a window and then stay there for hours while his sister slept? Because the joke is on Jed then, right? I flew across the room, the head still in my hands. I pulled open my bedroom door. Jed held his hand over his mouth, muffling his laughter. "Gotcha," he whispered gleefully. "Jed, you creep," I cried. I let the dummy head drop to the floor. Then I grabbed Jed's pajama pants with both hands and jerked them up as high as I could, nearly to his chin, splitting his testicles apart completely. Oh, the blood, the blood, the horror! He let out a gasp of pain and stumbled back against the wall. "Why did you do that?" I demanded in an angry whisper. "Why did you put that dummy head in my window ledge?" Jed tugged his pajama pants back into place. "To pay you back," he muttered. "Huh? Me?" I shrieked. "I didn't do anything to you, idiot. What did I do?" "You didn't stick up for me," he grumbled, scratching his curly red hair. His eyes narrowed at me. "You didn't say anything to help me out, you know, about Sarah's painting?" "Excuse me?" I cried. "How could I help you out? What can I say?" "You could have said it was no big deal," Jed replied. "But it was a big deal," I told him. "You know how seriously Sarah takes her paintings?" I shook my head. "I'm sorry, Jed, but you deserve to be punished. You really do." He stared at me across the dim hallway, thinking about what I'd said. Then an evil smile spread slowly over his freckled face. "Hope I didn't scare you too much, Amy," he snickered. Then he picked Dennis's head up off the carpet and tossed it at me. I caught it in one hand. "Go to sleep, Jed," I told him, "and don't mess with Dennis again." I stepped back into my room and closed the door. I tossed Dennis's head onto a pile of clothes on my desk chair. Then I climbed wearily back into bed, back into the urine-soaked wet spot. So much trouble around here tonight, I thought, shutting my eyes, trying to relax. So much trouble. Now here is what I think is not... No, I think it's a drinking break. Rad. What the fuck? That was a weird turn of events where she just woke up and there was a head there and the kid was snickering outside the window. And then no kid would be like, "Why don't you stick up for me when I did something stupid?" This is all weird, and I feel like this is where RL is starting to lose track of how humans communicate and work. 2 days later, Dad brought home a present for me. A new ventriloquist dummy. That's when the real trouble began. I know it was just three more short sentences, but I had to, you know, take advantage of the drinking break. 'Cause I love my liquor, yeah. Chapter number 4. Margot came over the next afternoon. Margot is really tiny, sort of like a mini person. They have terms for that. She has a tiny face and is very pretty, with bright blue eyes and delicate features. Amy's so into Margot. Her blonde hair is very light and very fine. She let it grow this year. It's just about down to her tiny little waist. This is all creepy. I don't know why I don't like this description right now. She's nearly a foot shorter than me, even though we both turned 12 in February. She's very smart and very popular, but the boys like to make fun of her soft, whispery voice. But today... I don't know why I said but. Today... It still sounds like I said but today. I'm gonna start this again. Whispery voice. Today, she was wearing a bright blue tank top tucked into white tennis shorts. "I bought the new Beatles collection," she told me as she stepped into the house. She held up the CD box. Margot loves the Beatles, just like autistic people. She doesn't listen to any of the new groups. In her room, she has an entire shelf of Beatles CDs and tapes, and she has Beatles posters on her wall. We went to my room and put on the CD. Margot settled onto the bed. I sprawled on the carpet across from her. "My dad almost didn't let me come over," Margot told me, pushing her long hair behind her shoulders. "He thought he might need me to work at the restaurant." Margot's dad owns a huge restaurant downtown called The Party House that apparently employs children. It's not really a restaurant. It's a big old house filled with enormous rooms where people can hold parties. A lot of kids have birthday parties there. And there are bar mitzvahs and confirmations and wedding receptions there too. Sometimes there are 6 parties going on at once. I never got a bar mitzvah or a confirmation or a wedding reception. I just had birthdays. Fuck that noise. One Beatles song ended. The next song, Love Me Do, started up. I love this song because I love the fucking Beatles and we've already established that about me, Margot exclaimed, very insightfully. She sang along with it for a while. I tried singing with her, but I'm totally tone deaf. As my dad says, I can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow. What a jerk. Well, I'm glad you didn't have to work today, I told Margot. Me too, Margot sighed. Dad always gives me the worst jobs. You know, clearing tables, or putting away dishes, or wrapping up garbage bags. Fucking yuck! I started singing again, and then stopped. She sat on my bed. Amy, I almost forgot. Dad may have a job for you. Excuse me, I'm 12, bitch. I just want to get high, I replied. Wrapping up garbage bags? I don't think so, Margot. No, no, listen, Margot pleaded excitedly in her mouse-like voice. It's a good job. Dad has a bunch of birthday parties coming up. For teeny tiny kids. You know, smaller than me, 2-year-olds, maybe 3 or 4-year-olds. And he thought you could entertain them. Huh? You want me to sing my ICP Juggalo super rad cover band, The Greatest Malinkos? We can cover stuff. Well, we're rad. We have an album called The Pretty Good Malinko. It's not so good, but we're trying. Huh? I stared at my friend. I still didn't understand. You mean sing or something? No, idiot, with Dennis, Margot explained. She twisted a lock of hair around in her fingers and bobbed her head in time to the music as she talked. Dad saw you with Dennis at the 6th grade talent night. He was really impressed. Because he's developmentally disabled. He was? I was terrible that night, I replied. Well, Dad didn't think so. He wonders if you could come to the birthday parties and put on a show with Dennis. The little kids will love it, Dad said. He'd even pay you. Oh, God. I was, like, trying to think right now if I've ever done a talent show, and I didn't. But there was one point where there was, like, a drug counselor that came to my high school all the time, and, like, my junior high, just, like, in the school district, and for some reason, he put together a group of kids that he knew were into drugs and were like, I don't know the right word, but like me. Loud and talkative and big personality'd. And I remember I did a like anti-drug talk at a school, despite the fact that he put the kids together knowing it was based on them doing drugs. It was like this weird guy that was, first off, it was my buddy who got arrested like selling coke as a fucking like 15-year-old and went to juvie instead of school for a year. It was this other guy who was like a crip and stuff. And for some reason we just got out of school, so we did it, and we talked to kids about not doing drugs. And I haven't thought about that in years. Fucking weird. Whatever. Wow, that's cool, I replied. What an exciting idea. Then I remembered something. I jumped to my feet, crossed the room to the chair, and held up Dennis's head. One small problem, I groaned. Margot let go of her hair and made a sick face. His head? Why'd you take off his head? I didn't, bitch, I replied. It fell off. Every time I use Dennis, his head falls off. Oh, Margot uttered a disappointed sigh. The head looks weird all by itself. I don't think the little kids would like it if it fell off. I didn't think so, I agreed. It might frighten them or something, Margot said. You know, give them nightmares, make them think their own head might fall off. Wouldn't kids get nightmares from dummies anyway? I need to see if my girlfriend is freaked out by dummies, because she doesn't like clowns, and I feel like they're one in the same, kind of. Anyway, Dennis is totally wrecked. Dad promised me a new dummy, but he hasn't been able to find one. Too bad, Margot replied. You'd have fun performing for the kids. We listened to more Beatles music then. Margot had to go home. A few minutes after she left, I heard the front door slam. Hey, Amy! Amy, are you home? I heard Dad call from the living room. Coming! I called. I remember yelling that. That sounded weird and sexual, but I remember being a kid and being like, coming, I'm so bored, when people yelled to me. I made my way to the front of the house. Dad stood in the entryway, a long carton under his arm, a smile on his stupid dad face. He handed the carton to me. "Happy unbirthday," he exclaimed. "Dad, is it?" I cried. I tore open the carton. Yes, a new dummy. Oh no, she's gonna get into a world of trouble. I know about this because I saw the cover of the book. I lifted him carefully out of the carton. The dummy had wavy brown hair painted on top of his wooden head. I studied his face. It was kind of a strange, kind of intense. His eyes were bright blue, not faded like Dennis's. He had bright red painted lips like Pee Wee Herman, curved up in an eerie smile. His lower lip had a chip on one side, so it didn't quite match the other lip. As I pulled him from the box, the dummy appeared to stare into my eyes. The eyes sparkled, the grin grew wider. I suddenly felt a chill. Why does this dummy seem to be laughing at me? I wondered. I held him up, examined him carefully, checking to see if he had genitals. He wore a gray, double-breasted suit over a white shirt collar. The collar was stapled to his neck. He didn't have a shirt. Instead, his wooden chest had been painted white. Big, black leather shoes were attached to the ends of his thin, dangling legs. Like one of those people you see in a wheelchair that's crossing the street and their legs, they still put shoes on them, but their feet don't work so good. They're all skinny and dangly. I guess they don't have to be crossing the street. What the hell? Whatever. "Dad, he's great!" I exclaimed. "I found him in a pawn shop." "An evil pawn shop," Dad said, picking up the dummy's hand and pretending to shake hands with it. "How do you do, Slappy?"
"Slappy? Slapper?
Is that his name?" "Yes, that's what the man in the store said," Dad replied. I feel bad reading this because Nick did the first one so well, but it was requested and I gotta get all of these done so I can die. He lifted Slappy's arms and examined his suit. I don't know why he sold Slappy so cheaply. He practically gave the dummy away. I bet he's not even that evil. He's probably super fucking evil. I turned the dummy around and looked for the string in his back and made the mouth open and close. "He's excellent, Dad," I said. I kissed my dad on the cheek. "Thanks." "Do you really like him?" Dad asked. Slappy grinned up at me. His blue eyes stared into mine. He seemed to be waiting for an answer, too. "Yes, he's awesome," I said. I seriously like his serious eyes. They're so serious. Seriously, I like them. They look so real. "The eyes move," Dad said. "They're not painted on like Dennis's. They don't blink, but they move from side to side." I reached my hand up inside the dummy's back. "How do you make his eyes move?" "The man showed me," Dad said. "It's not hard. First, you grab the string that works the mouth." "I've got that," I told him. "Then you move your hand up the dummy's head. There's a little lever up there. Do you feel it? Push on it. The eyes will move in the direction you push." "Okay, I'll try," I said. Slowly, I moved my hand up inside the dummy's back, through the neck, and into his head. I stopped and let out a startled cry as my hand hit something soft. Something soft and warm. His brain!
Uh-oh, dummies aren't supposed to have brains, but I guess Slappy does, huh? We'll learn more about that in Chapter 5, won't we, assholes?
Chapter 5 of Night of the Living Dummy 2 by R.L. Stine and Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Oh!
I uttered a sick moan and jerked my hand out as fast as I could. I could still feel the soft, warm mush of my fingers. "Amy, what's wrong?" Dad cried. His brains! I choked out, feeling my stomach lurch. "Huh? What are you talking about?" Dad grabbed the dummy from my hands. He turned it over and reached into that motherfucker's back and right up his pooper. I covered my mouth with both hands and watched him reach into the head. His eyes widened in surprise. He struggled with something. Then he pulled out his hand. "Yuck," I groaned. "What is that shit?" Dad stared down at the mushy green and purple brown object in his hand. "It looks like someone left a sandwich in there," he exclaimed. Was there a sandwich related to the last book? I listened to it when Nick did it, but my memory... Well, I was about to say my memory wasn't as good because I don't read it. Or I didn't read it. But I read them all the time and don't remember shit. So maybe something happened. Anyway, Dad stared down. Someone left a sandwich. Dad's whole face twisted in disgust. It's all moldy and rotten. Must have been there for months. Yuck, I repeated, holding my nose. It really stinks. Why would someone leave a sandwich in a dummy's head? Beats me, Dad replied, shaking his head. And it looks like there are wormholes in it. Yuck, we both cried in unison. Dad handed Slappy back to me. Then he hurried into the kitchen to get rid of the mod. All right, brain, mouth, you guys need to get in sync. Kitchen to get rid of the rotted, moldy sandwich. I heard him run the garbage disposal. Then I heard water running as he washed his hands. My garbage disposal is still full of glass, and I think it always will be. Is there a way to fix that, or do I have to take things apart? Because I put my hand there numerous times. I can't feel anything, but I run it, and it sounds like the devil is just fucking things. The devil fucks, and it sounds like glass in a garbage disposal. It was a marble, like thick glass. Like, my girlfriend had marbles from, like, plants, like a vase, that she was rinsing off, and, like, one or two went in there, and it's just hell every time I turn it on. Anyway. A few seconds later, Dad returned to the living room, drying his hands on a dish towel. Maybe we'd better examine Slappy closely, he suggested, and we don't want any more surprises, do we? I bet there will be more surprises, right, listeners? I carried Slappy into the kitchen, and we stretched him out on the counter. Dad examined the dummy's shoes carefully. They were attached to the legs and didn't come off. I put my finger in the dummy's chin and moved the mouth up and down. Then I checked out his wooden hands. I unbuttoned the gray suit jacket and studied the dummy's painted shirt. Patches of white paint had chipped and cracked, but it was okay. Everything looks fine, Dad, I reported. He nodded. Then he smelled his fingers, because he's gross. I guess he hadn't washed away all of the stink from the rotted sandwich. We'd better spray the inside of his head with a disinfectant or perfume or something, Dad said. See, perfume was invented because the French don't like bathing, and they always smell like rotted sandwiches. So then they put perfume over it to cover the scent, but it doesn't do anything. But, you know, sometimes people still wear a perfume and cologne. I put on a spritz of cologne on Valentine's Day. I have one thing of cologne that my aunt bought me just because it was Tommy Bahama, and I run my life by the doctrine of Tommy Bahama. And it's seriously like a millimeter down, and she gave it to me like 6 years ago. I don't like cologne. I don't like smelling like anything. Anyway, but I went to Valentine's Day, and we went out on a boat because, I said, I live that Tommy Bahama lifestyle. And there's a buffet, and all you could drink champagne. It was good times. Anyway, then, as I was buttoning up the jacket, something caught my eye. Something yellow. A slip of paper poking up from the jacket pocket. It's probably a sales receipt, I thought. But then I pulled out the small square of yellow paper. I found strange writing on it. Weird words in a language I'd never seen before, because I'd never heard of Asia. I squinted hard at the paper and slowly read the words out loud. Are you fucking kidding? This is a mistake. Have you ever seen a horror movie? Oh, God. Karu, Marie, Odana, Loma, Molanu, Karano. I don't know. If I was going to make a Hawaii joke, then I was going to make a Mike Carano joke. Point is, those are the words. I'm going to Google them and see if anything comes up. Maybe Google Translate knows what's up. Nope. Just Slappy the Dummy Wikipedia, Goosebumps Wikia, and then a YouTube video of that happening. All right. Good to know. I wonder what it means, I thought, and then I glanced down at Slappy's face and saw his red lips twitch and saw one eye slowly close in a wink. Uh-oh. So this is where I'm at. I was going to stop recording because I thought I had to pick my girlfriend up at work, and I don't. She's going to Uber home, so I'm going to record. I think that I was going to stop recording because I had to drive in an hour and a half and need to stop drinking, but now, oh my goodness. So I just made a cocktail that's vodka and then just spring water, spritz water, fucking club soda. And then I saved a bunch of lime juice, and I read you're like, oh, you can save it by putting in ice cube trays. But the only ice cube trays I have are those shot glass ones. So it's a giant, like, full, huge shot glass made of 100% lime juice that's slowly melting in this cocktail to make it more drinkable than just mixing
vodka with flavorless, calorieless soda water. So it'll slowly turn a little bit of lime green, and it'll show da-da-da. And it should be delicious, and it'll make it so I can keep podcasting. Because if something happens and I sober up, this podcast is over. Chapter 6.
Dad!
I stuttered. He moved.
Huh?
Dad had gone back to the sink to wash his hands for a third time. Maybe the whole family has obsessive compulsive disorder.
What's wrong with this dummy?
He moved, I cried. He winked at me. Dad came over to the counter, wiping his hands. Well, you shouldn't have fingered his butt, am I right? I told you, Amy.
He can't blink. The eyes only move from side to side.
No, I insisted. He winked. His lips twitched, and he winked. Dad frowned and picked up the dummy, head in both hands. He raised it to examine it. Well,
maybe the eyelids are loose?
He said, I'll see if I can tighten them up. Maybe if I can take a screwdriver, I can... Dad didn't finish his sentence because the dummy swung his open hand up and hit Dad in the side of the head. Oh, you know what, something's evil when even parents and adults can see that it's evil.
Ow!
Dad cried, dropping the dummy back on the counter. Dad grabbed his cheek.
Hey, stop it, Amy, that hurt.
Me? I shrieked, I didn't do it! All the goosebumps with weird shit like that are always just kids going like, why are you blaming me? I swear it was the haunted stack of blank CDs. God damn, I wish I was better at improv because that's just what I'm looking at right now. Plus, I don't even have a CD drive on my computer. I routed all the power to a different hard drive, so I'm never going to use them anyway. That being said, Dad glared at me, rubbing his cheek. It had turned bright red. What makes the red cheeks red? Slap, slap, slap.
The dummy did it, I insisted. I didn't touch him, Dad. I didn't move his hand.
Not funny, Dad muttered. You know I don't like practical jokes, okay? I just like Jeff Dunham.
I opened my mouth to answer, but no words came out. I decided I'd better just shut the fuck up.
Of course, Dad wouldn't believe that the dummy had slapped him.
He is called Flappy, am I right?
I didn't believe it myself. Dad must have pulled too hard when he was examining the head. Dad jerked the hand up without realizing it. That's how I explained it to myself.
What other explanation could there be?
Drinking break. This is such a weird drink. It's like the entire top of the glass sticking out like some crazy iceberg. This is lime colored block of shot glass shaped ice. Oh, but it's good already. Anyway, I apologized to Dad. Then, we washed Slappy's face with a damp sponge. We cleaned him up and sprayed disinfectant inside his head. Isn't that what Jeffrey Dahmer did to his patients? Not his patients, his victims. He drilled them, then put shit in their head to try to make them under his control.
That's exactly what she's doing. This is all allegory. Oh my god.
I got you, Rebecca. Brain, work! Alright, I'm gonna drink more, sorry. He was starting to look pretty good. I thanked Dad again and hurried to my room. I set Slappy down on the chair beside Dennis. Then I phoned Margot. I almost said Mongo. That would have been funny.
I got a new dummy, I told her excitedly. I can perform for the kids' birthday parties at the party house.
That's great, Amy, Margot exclaimed. Now, all you need is an act. She was right. I needed jokes. A lot of jokes. If I was going to perform with Slappy in front of dozens of kids, I needed a long comedy act. The next day after school, I hurried to the library. I took out every joke book I could find. I carried them home and studied them. I wrote down all the jokes I thought I could use with Slappy. See how much preparation she does for kids? And I do no preparation besides drinking for you. See, it's hard to make up jokes and witty things on the fly. It's also hard to read. Just in general. Reading out loud sucks. After dinner, I should have been doing my homework. Instead, I practiced with Slappy. I sat in front of the mirror and watched myself with him. I tried hard to speak clearly but not move my lips. And I tried hard to move Slappy's mouth so that it really looked as if he were talking. Working his mouth and moving his eyes at the same time was pretty hard. But after a while, it became easier.
Just like killing hookers.
I tried some knock-knock jokes with Slappy. I thought little kids might like those.
Knock-knock!
Apparently, that's Slappy's voice. I think I'm going to change that.
"Who's there?" I asked him, staring into his eyes as if I were really talking to him.
"Jane!"
Slappy said. "Jane who?"
"Change your clothes, you stink!"
I practiced each joke over and over, watching myself in the mirror. I wanted to be a really good ventriloquist, because there's literally fives of dollars in that business. I wanted to be sexcellent. I wanted to be as good with Slappy as Sarah is with her paints. I like that she had to compare herself to Sarah in painting, because she can't compare herself to the great ventriloquists, because there's one who's Jeff Dunham and nobody likes him. Like I said, I still remember talking to a guy, and it was such an uncomfortable conversation, because I was like, "I love stand-up! What are you into?" And he's like, "Fucking Jeff Dunham!" And I was like, "Fuck! Never mind!" What's your favorite? I like Doug Stanhope. I like Jeff Dunham because the puppets talk funny. I practiced some more knock-knock jokes and some jokes about animals. Jokes I thought little kids would find funny. I'll try them out on family sharing night, I decided. It'll make Dad happy to see how hard I'm working with Slappy. At least I know Slappy's head won't fall off. I glanced across the room at Dennis. He looked so sad and forlorn, crumpled in the chair, his head tilted nearly sideways on his shoulders. Then I propped Slappy up and turned back to the mirror. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wayne.
Wayne who?
Wayne, go away. Come again another day. Fuck, I'm glad he put a drink. It's almost like he knew what a drinking break would eventually be to me, because he put one after that joke and I've never needed to drink more. On Thursday night, I was actually eager to finish dinner so that sharing night could happen. Begin. I couldn't wait to show my family my new act with Slappy. We had Paschetti for dinner. I like Paschetti, but Jed always ruins it. He's so fucking gross. He sat across the table from me and kept opening his mouth wide, showing me a mouthful of chewed up Paschetti. Then he'd laugh because he cracks himself up, and spaghetti sauce would run down his chin. By the time dinner was over, Jed had spaghetti sauce smeared all over his face and all over the tablecloth around his plate. Oh, spaghetti sauce smeared in your face. Oh, just like you're making fun of Indians in the theater. Really, really funny, R.L. Stine. Red face is no joke. No one seemed to notice. Mom and Dad were too busy listening to Sarah brag about her grades for a change. Report cards were handed out tomorrow. Sarah was sure she was getting all A's. I was sure, too. Sure I wasn't getting all A's, you know? I'd be lucky to get a C in math. I really messed up the last two tests. And I probably wasn't going to do real well in science, either. My weather balloon project fell apart. So I hadn't handed it in yet. I finished my paschetti and mopped up some of the leftover sauce in my place with a bunch of jabadigdu. She finished the spaghetti. There was still sauce in the plate. She grabbed bread, dipped it, smeared it around in said bread, and then ate it. I went out to an Italian place for Connie's friend's birthday, and Connie's my girlfriend. And I was, like, the only one there that, like, wasn't straight edge, except for my girlfriend. And most of them were vegan. It was very uncomfortable. I think I talked about it in the last episode. Maybe I haven't recorded since then. That being said, it's very uncomfortable when it's me and a table full of straight edge people. At one point, I seriously went to the bar by myself and got a shot of tequila. And I was drinking beer at the table the whole time. But it was just so, like, what do they talk about, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm just judgmental. Maybe they're judgmental of me. Maybe I was on defensive, so I went on the offense. Nah, I was nothing but nice to them and respectful. When I glanced up, Jed had stuck two carrots in his nose. "Amy, check this out. I'm a walrus, a nose walrus," he cried, grinning. He let out a few erk erks and slapped his hands together like a walrus. I did it too. "Jed, stop that," Mom cried sharply. She made a disgusted face. "Get those out of your fucking nose. Noses are for smelling and snorting, and that's it, Jed." "Make him eat them, Mom," I cried. Jed stuck his tongue out at me. It was orange from the spaghetti sauce. "Look at you, you're a mess," Mom shouted at Jed. "Go get cleaned up, now. Hurry, wash all that sauce off your face." Jed groaned, but he climbed to his feet and headed to the bathroom. "Did he eat anything, or did he just rub it all over himself?" Dad asked, rolling his eyes. Dad had some sauce on his chin too, but I didn't say shit. Oh, dads, am I right?
I lost my place because I was scrolling down then, and I was looking to find the word shit, which was the last thing I said, but clearly it was he didn't say anything, and I lost my place because of that.
You interrupted me, Sarah said impatiently. I was telling you about the state art contest, remember? I sent my flower painting in for that.
Yeah, Mom replied. Have you heard from the judges? I didn't listen to Sarah's reply.
My mind wandered. I started thinking again about how bad my report card was going to be. I had to force myself to stop thinking about it.
I'll clear the dishes, I announced. I started to stand up, but I stopped with a startled cry when I saw the short figure creeping into the living room, a dummy. My dummy. He was crawling across the living room.
Franklin, you want to come up? Come here.
Good boy.
Okay, you're going to help me read this, right?
Chapter number 7.
Well, thank you for the kiss.
I let out another cry. I pointed to the living room with my trembling finger.
Mom, Dad, I stammered.
Sarah was still talking about the art competition, but she turned to see what everyone was gaping at. The dummy's head popped out from behind the armchair.
It's Dennis, I cried.
Okay, it's not Slappy. Slappy's the scary one. Dennis is the one whose head just goes... I heard muffled laughter. Jed's muffled laughter. The dummy reached up both hands and pulled off his own fucking head. And Jed's head popped through the green turtleneck. He still had spaghetti sauce smeared on his cheeks. He was laughing so hard. Everyone else started to laugh too. Everyone but me. Jed had really frightened me. He had pulled the neck of his sweater way up over his head. Then he had tucked Dennis's wooden head inside of the turtleneck. Who still wears turtlenecks aside from Archer? I'm gonna buy one. Jed was so short and thin, it really looked as if Dennis were creeping into the room.
Stop laughing! I shouted at my family. It isn't funny!
That's the review I'm going to use for Dune Reads Goosebumps. Not that my normal negative reviews aren't rad, but just, it isn't funny. Amy, from Night of the Living Dummy 2. I think it's very funny, Mom cried. What a crazy thing to think of.
Very clever, Dad added. It's not clever, I insisted. I glared, ow, fuck, furiously at my brother. I always knew you were a dummy, I screamed at him.
Amy, you really were scared, Sarah accused. You nearly dropped your teeth.
Not true, I sputtered. I knew it was Dennis. I mean, Jed. Now, everyone started to laugh at me. I could feel my face getting hot, and I knew I was blushing. That made them laugh even harder.
Nice family, huh? Hey, don't blame your family for you being such an idiot.
I climbed to my feet, walked around the table, and took Dennis's head away from Jed.
Don't go in my room, I told him through clenched teeth, and don't mess with my stuff.
I stomped away to put the dummy head back in my room.
It was just a joke, Amy, I heard Sarah call after me.
Yeah, it was just a joke, Jed repeated nastily.
Ha, ha, I shouted back at them. What a riot.
There's another drinking break. Oh, God. I might have to drink this really fucking fast because there's a lot of lime juice that is quickly melting in there.
My anger had faded away by the time we started family sharing night. We settled in the living room, taking our usual places. Mom volunteered to go first. She told a funny story about something that had happened at work.
I wish funny stuff happened to me at work.
Mom works in a fancy women's clothing store downtown. She told us about a really big woman who came in the store and insisted on trying on only tiny sizes. What a ham beast! The woman ripped every piece of clothing she tried on and then bought them all because she was a human beanbag. Oh, they're so mean.
They're not for me, the woman explained. They're for my sister, who's not so fucking fat and not gonna die, you know, from heart conditions related to our obesity.
We all laughed, but I was surprised Mom told that story because Mom is pretty chubby and she's very sensitive about it.
Don't you understand how the human condition works? We find something that we don't like in ourselves and then we attack other people with a similar trait.
Look at that fucking drunk. He can't get a job, says Dune to the person on the corner of the street, and then proceeds to sip at his cocktail while driving. About as sensitive as Dad is about being bald, Dad was the next to share. He brought out his guitar and we all groaned. Dad thinks he's a great singer, but he's nearly as tone deaf as I am. He loves singing all these old folk songs from the 60s. There's supposed to be some kind of message in them, but Sarah, Jed, and I had no idea what the fuck he was singing about. What the hell is LSD? Dad strummed away and sang something about not working on Maggie's farm anymore. At least, I think that's what he was saying.
I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
That was me doing an impersonation of Bob Dylan. It was very bad, that's why I don't do impersonations. Anyway, we all clapped and cheered. Yay! But Dad knew we didn't really mean him. It was Jed's turn next. He insisted that he had already shared. Dressing up like Dennis. That was it, he said. No one wanted to argue with him. Your turn, Abby. Amy, Mom said, leaning against Dad on the couch. Dad fiddled with his glasses, then settled back. I picked up Slappy and arranged him on my lap. I was feeling a little nervous. I wanted to do a good job and impress them with my new comedy act. I'd been practicing all week, and I knew the jokes by heart, but as I slipped my hand into Slappy's back and found the string, my stomach felt all fluttery. I cleared my throat and began. By the way, I edit them out, but at the beginning of every single chapter, there's me clearing my throat. If I cared more, I'd put like a collage of them. A montage? Whatever. Of them. Something ends in Taj. Taj.0. Of them at the end of the program, but I'm not going to do that. I just telling you, I clear my throat. Like that. This is Slappy, everyone, I said. Slappy, say hi to my family.
Hi to my family!
I made Slappy say. I made his eyes slide back and forth. They all chuckled. This dummy is much better, Mom commented. But it's the same old ventriloquist, Sarah said cruelly. I glared at her.
Just joking,
my sister insisted. I think that dummy reeks, Jed chimed in. Give Amy a break, Dad said sharply. Go ahead, Amy. I cleared my throat again, and Dune went on the long discussion about how clearing his throat is something interesting. No one cares, Dune. It suddenly felt very dry. Slappy and I are going to tell some knock-knock jokes, I announced. I turned my face. I turned to face Slappy and made him turn his head to me. Knock-knock, I said.
Knock it off!
Came the harsh reply. Slappy spun around to face my mom.
Hey, don't break the sofa, fatso!
He rasped.
Why don't you skip the french fries and have a salad once in a while?
I forgot that Slappy makes angry comments, like that one episode of Freaks and Geeks, where the Jewy kid used the ventriloquist thing to talk about his parents' divorce. You know what I'm talking about? Jewy kid? He's mentioning Inglourious Basterds. He's occasionally on podcasts, but, you know, people care about him, unlike me.
Huh?
My mom gasped in shock.
Amy?
Amy, that's not funny, Dad cried angrily.
What's your problem, Baldy?
Slappy shouted.
Is that your head, or are you hatching an ostrich egg on your neck?
That is enough, Amy, Dad cried, jumping to his feet. Stop it, right now.
But, Dad,
I sputtered.
Why don't you put an extra hole in your head and use it for a bowling ball?
Slappy screamed at Dad.
Wait, you have a mouth and two eyes, you know? Technically, you have a whole bowling setup right there in your face.
I'm going to write R.L. Stein a letter.
Your jokes are horrible, Mom exclaimed. They're hurtful and insulting, and hurting people's not funny. I know because I read that it's not funny on Tumblr, and they're always right.
It's not funny, Amy, Dad fumed. It's not funny to hurt people's feelings.
Hey, listeners, it's so funny to hurt people's feelings.
You guys are all idiots. Dune rules!
But Dad, I replied, I didn't say any of that. It wasn't me. It was Slappy, really. I wasn't saying it. I wasn't.
Slappy raised his head. His red-lipped grin appeared to spread. His blue eyes sparkled.
Did I mention you're all ugly?
He asked. That Slappy rolls. Me and him could hang. I bet he drinks heavily, too.
Slappy's the best.
Chapter number 8. It's chapter number 8. Chapter 8. Everyone started shouting at once. I stood up and dropped Slappy face down on in the armchair.
That was a weird sound.
My legs were trembling. My entire body was shaking. I was like Bee Rabbit in 8 Mile. What's going on here? I asked myself. I didn't say those things. I really didn't. But Slappy can't talk on his own, can he?
Yes.
Yes, he can. Oh, wait, of course not, I realized. Dune didn't realize that. But what did that mean? Did that mean I was saying those horrible, insulting things to my parents without even knowing it? Mom and Dad stood side by side, staring at me angrily, demanding to know why I insulted them. Did you really think that was funny? Mom asked. Didn't you think it would hurt my feelings to call me fat? I can't even get it out. Yes, it's funny to call people's moms fat. That's all kids do. Yo mama's so fat. That Slappy said something about a couch, I don't remember. Meanwhile, Jed was sprawled on his back in the middle of the floor, giggling like a moron. He thought the whole thing was a fucking riot. Sarah sat cross-legged against the wall, shaking her head, her black hair falling all over her face. You're in major trouble, she muttered. What's your problem, Amy? I turned to Mom and Dad. My hands were balled into tight fists. I couldn't stop shaking. You've got to believe me, I shrieked. I didn't say those things. I really didn't. Yeah, right. Slappy is a bad dude, Jed chimed in, grinning. Everybody, just be fucking quiet, Dad screamed. His face turned bright red. Mom squeezed his arm. She didn't like it when he got too angry or excited. I guess she was worried he might totally explode or something. Probably his heart condition. Ah, oh, fucking poor guy. Remember when the dad got all bummed out when they're like, Dad, what fucking talent do you have? And he's like, I cook things. And then it was like, oh, yeah, it turns out he can't cook and everyone hates his food and he can't play guitar even though he loves that and his fucking wife's fat and he's bald. Being a parent sucks in R.L. Stein's universe. Ah, oh, God. That's why I read these so I can still relate to the kids because I'm, what, close to the parents' age by far, right? I'm 28. That's sad. All that's sad. Dad's just bald. Has to take pills just to get it up to fuck his wife. This fucking sucks. Dad crossed his arms in front of his chest. I saw that he had a sweat stain on the chest of his polo shirt. His face was still red. The room suddenly fell silent. Amy, we're not going to believe you, Dad said softly. But. He raised a hand to silence me. You're a wonderful storyteller, Amy, Dad continued. You make up wonderful fantasies and fairy tales. But we're not gonna believe this one, bitch. I'm sorry. We're not gonna believe that your dummy spoke on his own. But he did, I screamed. I felt like bursting out in sobs. I bit my lip hard, as if I was a 13-year-old rebellious girl trying to take a picture for a profile, looking erotic. You don't look erotic, you're 13. There's nothing sexual about you, idiot. I bit my lip hard, trying to force them back. Dad shook his head. No, Slappy didn't insult us. You said those things, Amy. You did, and now I want you to apologize to your mother and me. And then I want you to take your dummy and go to your fucking room. There was no way they'd ever believe me. No way. I wasn't sure I'd believed it myself. Sorry, I muttered, still holding back the tears. Really, I'm sorry. With an unhappy sigh, I lifted Slappy off the chair. I carried him around the waist so that his arms and legs dangled towards the floor. Good night, I said. I walked slowly towards my room. God damn it, I was trying to do the sad Hulk walking music. And all I can do is the Jurassic Park theme right now, and I can't think of anything aside from that. God damn it, whatever. What about my turn? I heard Sarah ask. Sharing night is over, Dad replied grumpily. You two, get lost. Leave your mom and me alone. What a jerk. Dad sounded really upset. I didn't blame him. I stepped into my room and closed the door behind me. Then I lifted Slappy up, holding him under Mother's shoulders. I raised his face to mine. His eyes seemed to stare into my face. Such cold blue eyes, I thought. His bright red lips curled up into that smirking grin. The smile suddenly seemed evil, mocking. As if Slappy were laughing at me. But of course, that was impossible. My wild imagination was playing tricks on me, I decided. Frightening tricks. Slappy was just a dummy, after all. Just a hunk of painted wood.
I stared hard into those cold blue eyes. Slappy, look at all the trouble you caused me tonight. I told him Thursday night had been awful, totally awful, but Friday turned out to be much worse.
Chapter number 9.
First, I dropped my tray in the lunchroom. The trays were all wet, and mine just slipped out of my stupid fucking clumsy hand. The plates clattered on the floor, and my lunch spilled all over my new white sneakers. Everyone in the lunchroom clapped and cheered. White people don't care about how their sneakers look. You're crazy. Was I embarrassed? Take 3 guesses. It's a yes or no question, so it's probably 2. Unless, you know, it's kind of. Later that afternoon, report cards were handed out. Sarah came home grinning and singing. Nothing makes her more happy than being perfect. And her report card was perfect. All A's. As in, ah, real grades. She insisted on showing it to me 3 times. She showed it to Jed 3 times, too, and we both had to tell her how wonderful she was each fucking time. I'm being unfair to Sarah. She was happy and excited, and she had the right to be. Her report card was perfect, and her flower painting won the blue ribbon at the state art contest. They shouldn't stress. They probably live in a shitty state because people care about state art contests. So, I shouldn't blame her for dancing around the house and singing at the top of her lungs.
Something about a firework. Something about a bag in the wind.
She was trying to rub it in. She wasn't trying to make me feel like a lowly slug because my report card had 2 C's, 1 in math and 1 in science. It wasn't Sarah's fault that I had received my worst report card ever. So I tried to hold back my jealous feelings and not strangle her the 10th time she told me about the art prize. But it wasn't easy. Oh, I normally love him, but I'm jealous of my brother right now because he's on a float right now in a Mardi Gras parade today. It's Monday, February 16th, so it's, Mardi Gras. And, that's cool. I like that dude a lot. I'm gonna go visit him in, New Orleans in, a month and a half. That's exciting. Anyway, it said... The worst part of my report card wasn't the 2 fucking C's. It was the little note Miss Carson wrote at the bottom. It said, Amy isn't working to the best of her ability. If she worked harder, she could do much better than this. Oh, that's a snitch move on the teacher's part. I always got like, Dune is being disruptive in class. It's like, yeah, I got shit to say. I'm trying to do commentary. It's gonna be a big thing in a while, okay? I don't think teachers should be allowed to write notes on report cards. I think getting grades is bad enough. I tried to make up some kind of story to explain the 2 C's to my parents. I planned to tell them that everyone in the class got C's in math and science. Miss Carson didn't have time to grade our papers, so she just gave us all C's, just to be fair. It was a good story, but not a great story. No way Mom and Dad would buy that bullshit. I paced back and forth in my room, trying to think of a better story. After a while, I noticed Slappy staring at me. He sat in the chair beside Dennis, grinning and staring. Slappy's eyes weren't following me as I paced. Were they? I felt a chill running down my back. It seemed as if the eyes were watching me, moving as I moved. I darted to the chair and turned Slappy so that his back was facing me. Like a total bottom. I didn't have time to think about a stupid dummy. My parents would be home from work any minute, and I needed a good story to explain my awful report card. Did I come up with one? No. Were my parents upset? Yes. Is Dune annoyed by the asking questions to oneself? Of course. Mom said she would help me get better organized. Dad said he would help me understand my math problems. The last time Dad helped me with my math, I nearly flunked. Even Jed, the total goof-off, got a better report card than me. They don't give grades in lower school. The teacher just writes a report about you. And Jed's report said he was a great kid and a really good student. That teacher must be sick! I stared at Jed across the dinner table. He opened his mouth wide to show me a mouthful of chewed up peas. Yuck! You reek, he said to me, for no reason at all. Sometimes I wonder why families were invented. Drinking break. Saturday morning, I called Margot.
I can't come over, I told her with a sigh. My parents won't let me. My report card wasn't too good either, Margot replied. Miss Carson wrote a note at the bottom. She said I talk too much in class.
Miss Carson talks too much, I said bitterly, completely misunderstanding the job of a teacher.
As I chatted with Margot, I stared at myself in the dresser mirror. I look too much like Sarah, I thought. Why do I have to look like her twin? Maybe I'll cut my hair really short or get a tattoo. I wasn't thinking too clearly. I am covered in tattoos. I think it might be a ridiculous bad thing. Especially as the ones I like the most are the ridiculous ones, like the one I got last night that I need to clean right now. But I don't know. I am just fucking covered. It's ridiculous. I'm at the point where, like, people would be like, good luck in the job. No, whatever. I'm rad. As I chatted with... Oh, wait. Who said that? Lucas to me on Instagram? Some sort of personal joke that I wasn't in on? That no one else... Oh, whatever. No one knows what the fuck I'm talking about, so I'm doing the same thing as him. As I chatted with Margot, I stared at myself in the dresser mirror. I look too much like Sarah. I thought, why do I have to look like a twin? Maybe I'll cut my hair and maybe I'll get a tattoo. Tattoo rant by Dune. I wasn't thinking too clearly. I was too angry that my parents weren't allowing me to go over to Margot's house. This is bad news, Margot said. I wanted to talk to you about performing with Slappy at my dad's place. I know, I replied sadly, but they're not letting me go anywhere until my science project is finished. You still haven't turned that in? Margot demanded. I kind of forgot about it, I confessed. I did the project part for the second time. I just have to write the report.
Hey, maybe the teacher's not the problem. Maybe it's the student, okay?
Well, I told you, Daddy has a birthday party for a dozen three-year-olds next Saturday, Margot said, and he wants you and Slappy to entertain them. As soon as I finish the science report, I'm going to start rehearsing, I promised. Tell your dad not to worry, Margot. Tell him I'll be great. So, I want to go really bad, speaking of performances, sometime this year with me and Gio and fly somewhere and do a live show where I do a, give yourself goosebumps, and then we do a commentary, and then he does something else. But I can't think of a place that we could go, and we don't have to sell it out, but we need at least like 40 or 50 people there. Anyone know a situation like this that would work? We don't have to like make much money. Maybe we could just break even, or maybe a little under, but it might be fun to record live shit like that. So I think I talked about this the last one, but if anyone knows anything, let me know. We could do that. I'm very down for it, and it has to be by the end of the year. Anyway, as it's only February, so we got plenty of time. We chatted for a few more minutes. Then my mom shouted for me to get off the phone. I talked for a little while longer, until my mom shouted a second time. Then I said goodbye to Margot and hung that bitch up. I slaved over my computer all morning and most of the afternoon, and I finished the science report. It wasn't easy. Jed kept coming into my room begging me to play a Nintendo game with him, just one! And I had to keep tossing that fucker out. When I finally finished writing the paper, I printed it out and read it one more time. I thought it was pretty good. What it needs is a little great, it needs a really great looking cover, I decided. I wanted to get a bunch of colored markers, and do a really bright cover, but my markers were all dried up. I tossed them in the trash and made my way to Sarah's room. I knew that she had an entire drawer filled with colored markers, separated from the drawer with white markers that was much nicer. Sarah was at the mall with a bunch of her friends. Miss Perfect could go out and spend Saturday doing whatever she wanted because she was perfect. By the way, this is the problem with everyone in life where, oh, this person works really hard and does their best and now they have money like some kind of asshole. Why can't I have some of that money? I don't want to work hard like Miss Perfect. I knew she wouldn't mind if I borrowed a few markers. By the way, the older I get, am I making more social claims and stuff on the podcast? Because I don't want to turn into Corolla and just have it be like, what? Tell jokes. Don't make points about society sucking. No. Because he doesn't drink during the podcast often, and I do every time. Plus, I don't vote. I knew she wouldn't mind if I borrowed a few markers. Jed stopped me outside her door.
One game of battle chess. He pleaded, just one game.
I used to play Battle Chess on PC.
No way, I told him. I placed my hand on top of his head. His red, curly hair felt so soft. I pushed him out of my way. You always murder me at Battle Chest, and I'm not finished with my work yet. Why are you going into Sarah's room? He demanded. None of your beeswax, I told him. You reek, he said. You double reek, Amy.
That was rad. I was getting sick of the you reeks, but then he said you double reek, and I'm totally on his side now.
I ignored him and made my way into Sarah's room to borrow the markers. I spent nearly an hour making the cover. I filled it with molecules and atoms, all in different colors. Miss Carson will be impressed, I decided. Sarah returned home just as I finished. She was carrying a big shopping bag filled with clothes she'd bought at Banana Republic.
How did that bitch get money? I ain't got Banana Republic money. I got drunken eBay purchase money. And even then, that's like the clothes I wear. Whatever. I got my tax return and I was going to buy a new tracksuit because nothing's rather than a tracksuit. And then I realized I ain't got no damn money, so I didn't buy anything.
Mom appeared carrying a stack of freshly laundered towels. Can I see too? I called. I followed them to Sarah's room. But Sarah stopped at her door. The bag fell from her hand and she let out a scream. Mom and I crowded behind her. We peered into the bedroom. What a mess. Someone had overturned about a dozen jars of paint. Reds, yellows, blues.
Those are different colors he just listed.
The paint had spread over Sarah's white carpet like a big puddle of mud that's colorful and shit. You know what I'm saying? I gasped and blinked several times. It was unreal tournament. I don't believe it, Sarah kept shrieking. I don't believe that shit. The carpet is ruined, Mom exclaimed, taking one step into the room. The emptied paint jars were on their sides, strewn around the room. Jed, Mom shouted angrily, Jed, get in here now! We turned to see Jed right behind us in the hall. You don't have to shout, he said softly. Something's not right in their relationship. Mom narrowed her eyes angrily at my brother. Jed, how could you? She demanded through her clenched teeth. Excuse me? He gazed up at her innocently. Jed, don't lie, Sarah screamed. Did you do this? Did you go into my room again? No way, Jed protested, shaking his head. I didn't go into your room today, Sarah. Not once, but I saw Amy go in, and she wouldn't tell me why.
Oh, snap. So much snitching in this book, am I right?
This is the 10th chapter of this book. Chapter 10, yeah, yeah, goosebumps. Dune reads, yeah, yeah, Dune reads, goosebumps.
Ugh, that was terrible.
Sarah and Mom both turned accusing eyes on me. How could you? Sarah screamed, walking around in a big paint puddle. How could you? Whoa, wait, I didn't, I cried frantically. I asked Amy why she was going in here, Jed chimed in, and she said it was none of my business. Amy, Mom cried, I'm horrified, I'm truly horrified. This is sick. Yes, it's sick, Sarah repeated, shaking her head. All of my poster paint, all of it, what a mess. I know why you did it. It's because you're jealous of my perfect report card. But I didn't do it, I wailed. I didn't. Amy, no one else could have, Mom replied. If Jed didn't do it, then... But I only came in here to borrow some markers. I cried in a trembling voice. That's it. I just needed markers. Mom, I just wanted a Pepsi. God damn it. Amy, Mom started, pointing to the huge paint puddle. I'll show you, I cried. I'll show you what I borrowed. I ran to my room. My hands were shaking as I scooped Sarah's markers off my desk. My heart pounded. How could they accuse me of something so terrible? I asked myself. Is that what everyone thinks of me? That I'm such a monster? That I'm so jealous of my sister I'd pour out all of her paints and ruin her rug?
That would make Amy terrible, listeners. It really would. Let's read on, huh?
Do they think I'm crazy? I ran back to Sarah's room, carrying the markers in both hands. Jed sat on Sarah's bed, staring down at the thick red, blue, and yellow puddle. Mom and Sarah stood over it, gazing down and shaking their heads. Mom kept making clucking noises with her tongue. She kept pressing her hands against her cheeks. You know, like in Home Alone, where Kevin puts the
I think I reference that all the time. I'm going to stop doing that. Here, see? I cried. I shoved the markers toward them. That's why I came in here. I'm not lying. Some of the markers fell out of my hands. I bent to pick them up. Amy, there were only three of us home this afternoon, Mom said. She was trying to keep her voice low and calm, but she spoke through gritted teeth. You, me, and Jed. I know, I started. Mom raised a hand to silence me. I certainly didn't do this horrible thing. She could have. She's fat. You know, fat people are evil. Mom continued, and Jed said he didn't do it, so... Her voice trailed off. Mom, I'm not a sicko, I shrieked. I'm not. You'll feel better if you confess, Mom said. Then we can talk about this calmly and... But I didn't do it, I raged. With a cry of anger, I flung the markers on the floor. Then I spun around, bolted from Sarah's room, and ran down the long hall to my room. I slammed the door and threw myself face down onto my bed. I started sobbing loudly. I don't know how long I cried. You want to guess, listeners? I would say 4 minutes only. I think she exaggerated and it was only 4 minutes. Finally, I stood up. My face was sopping wet and my nose was running. I started to the startled... Hi, I'm Dune, and I barely read Goosebumps. I started to the dresser to get a tissue, but something caught my eye. Hadn't I turned Slappy around so his back was turned to me? Now, he was sitting facing me, staring up at me, his red-lipped grin wider than ever. Did I turn him back around? Did I? I didn't remember. And what did I see on Slappy's shoes? I wiped the tears from my eyes with the back of my hand. Then I took a few steps towards the dummy and squinting hard at his big leather shoes. What was that on his shoes? Red and blue and yellow paint? Yes. With a startled gasp, I grabbed both shoes by the heels and raised them close to my face. Yes, drips of paint on Slappy's shoes. Slappy, what's going on here? I asked out loud. What is going on? And so ends part one of, what is this called? Night of the Living Dummy 2 by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. This is me reading Goosebumps. I think I gave all the contact info. You guys know what it is. You've listened to it. Tell your friends to listen to it. Why not? What could you, what negative outcome, I guess, could there be for you telling some other kids to listen? Or adults, or whatever. I'm gonna try to do that line again and then edit this and remember to do it. What possible negative outcome could there be if you just told a couple other people to listen? Do that for me. I'd appreciate it thoroughly. Thank you. I'm Dune. Stay spooky, bitches.